Now entering Nerdist.com.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Part 2.
I'm Greg Wyshynski of Yahoo Sports.
And I'm Dave Lozo of Vice Sports and the Comeback and Up Rocks and all over the place.
And you're in Puck Soup. The intro to our show, the intro music to our show was provided by whom?
My boy Jeff Sampson. He's a little bit of a songwriter, singer on the side. We kind of collaborated on the lyrics. If you want a lyric sheet, just send me a note.
Can I get that on iTunes? Can I make it a ringtone?
I mean, technically you can get it on iTunes, but you have to listen to the show in order to get it. But
no, that's unfortunate.
But yeah, so thanks to Jeff. Jeff didn't want any money. He really didn't want any publicity either, but if you ever want to get in touch with them. Get in touch with me, and I will be the middleman for your project.
If you listened to the first episode of Puck Soup with Katie Nolan, and thanks to everybody who did, you made us the number one sports podcast and made us in the top 30 of regular podcasts that people listen to, like Serial.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And TED Talks.
The Katie Nolan Nerdist bump.
Yeah, exactly.
It's unbelievable.
Or as I like to call it, the law of diminishing returns. you heard that Puck Soup was actually the not second choice, but not the first choice,
right,
for the show. We had many choices, but it wasn't the first choice for the show. We were actually going to call the show It's Hockey Time with Greg and Dave, and then decided that that wasn't a good name.
Right.
And so we decided to think about what would be a good name and settled on Puck Soup. But the reason I'm telling you this is I promised you if we got to a second episode, which we obviously have, that I would play the original attempt at a theme song that we created, or I should say I created, using my six-year-old daughter, Vivian, as the singer. Now, to set the scene, she gets up at like 6:30. She's programmed to do so because she's a child in school, and you know there's no shutting off that switch once it's flipped. I mean, kids just wake up at the same time every time.
This was during spring break, right, when you were trying to do this?
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, it's like 6:30. She's going to bed late. It's spring break. She's getting up early. She's tired as all hell.
Partied out from spring break life.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
just
man.
Getting
it is
wasted
crazy
every night.
Crazy. Yeah.
Crushing PBRs.
Crushing PBRs. You know, probably some mud wrestling of some sort with another toddler.
Of course. All the things six-year-olds do on spring break these
That's
days.
That's right. Yep. Waking up in strange places, like in front of the sink brushing your teeth. That's a strange place for a six-year-old.
Like, what's going on here? I got to get my life in order. I'm brushing my teeth at 6:30. Ugh.
So she's on the couch, and she's trying to watch these horrible videos that involve fathers making their children open up toys and do pranks on each other. If you've ever seen this video genre, it's frightening. It's fathers living vicariously through their kids, but also making them taste jelly beans that taste like skunk.
It's bizarre. My buddy has a kid, and he's 2 years old, and he sits there and he just watches them. I think they're like Japanese videos, and it's just hands opening eggs, and the egg has a toy in it, and the hand shows the toy to the, and then it's 10 minutes of that, and the kid can't get enough. Kids are weird, man.
But kids are weird, but in fairness, though, like, there's an entire subgenre of that for sports fans. Like, have you ever seen the unboxing of, like, cards, like hockey cards or basketball cards or baseball cards?
Really?
It's the same thing. It's like a pair of hands opening up, like, a wax pack of cards. And I gotta tell you, man, if the mood hits me, it's kind of mesmerizing.
Is it really?
Opens up the thing of cards, just like, let's see you. This is your upper deck.
are they narrating?
Yeah, 2016 laser cut edition. Dylan McArath, that's not good. Got myself Steve Stamkos. It's Jordan Eberle, but with jersey shroud in it. It's got a jersey patch in it. It's like you could just smell the Cheetos and the spilled Jolt Cola on the ground, and it is fantastic.
I want to start my own where it's just like me, like going through like old boxes and finding like Playboys from 1995, and I'm just like, all right, here we got Farrah Fawcett. Farrah Fawcett was a really, really big star in the 70s. She kind of did some nude stuff in the 90s. Here we go on page 46. Like that. Now that I would watch because.
You just made me think, though, like, let's say that this changed for Playboy. If you haven't heard, Playboy got rid of the nude pictures.
What?
Wait, you hadn't heard that?
What the hell? What's in there now? Articles?
Articles, yes.
About what?
Articles and tasteful Maxim-like spreads. so you can read it on you can read it on the plane and not feel guilty, not have to crouch down in your seat or spend copious amounts of time in the bathroom.
But like, so where is anyone going to get porn now? Are you serious?
I still use Kazaa. So there's going to be generations. Let's say this works out and Playboy magazine is sustained for like 15 years. Like, there's going to be a generation of people that don't know Playboy as a place where you look at nude women.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be like, you know, back in my day.
I remember back in the day when I had to go buy a magazine at the bus stop.
Back in my day, Playboy didn't have a 5-part series on blood diamonds and sex trafficking. It was all about the sex stars of the 90s.
I mean, sure, I read it for the articles, too. But, I mean, now I like a little break in between the articles. I enjoy tastefully photographed nude women riding horses in fields. Why can't I get that anymore?
Dear Penthouse,
thanks, Obama.
Reading Playboy when all of a sudden, you know, letters from Penthouse are always the best.
Right, but now they're all like, the other day I was minding my own business and suddenly it happened. I saw it. Crime. I saw a man rob a store, and he got away with it. And I witnessed it. It was scary. This story is totally true.
Dear Penthouse, I used to read your letters all the time, and I never thought any of this could happen to me. But then it did. Gender pay inequity.
Right. It's just all, like, serious topics of the day now. Like, then again, I do find it odd that it took – so when did this happen? This year?
This happened recently. Like, it happened when Hugh Hefner's daughter, I think it is, took over the magazine. And they got rid of the new – because the circulation had fallen because, spoiler warning, porn is everywhere. Like, there's no reason to buy Playboy anymore because you get porn anywhere. And so they – which, by the way, like, people call Playboy porn, but then it's like – like, I remember being a kid and thinking, like, people would say that Playboy was pornography. And I guess by the definition it is. And then you find real pornography and you're like, well, this is just a magazine.
Right. Like, what have I been doing the first 12 years of my life? Like, Jesus.
You know, it's like different degrees of crime. If you kill somebody, it's worse than, you know, punching somebody in the ear.
I remember the first time I realized that, whatever, was it porn? The Spice Channel? Remember the Spice Channel back in the day?
Oh, yeah, for sure, on pay-per-view.
The first time I realized that if I angled my TV the right way as a 13-year-old and I put the channel on and I didn't have it, you can kind of see boobies through, like, the weird graininess. Like, oh, man.
God. I did the same
thing. I felt like Einstein. Like, I had invented a new entire world for myself.
It feels that way.
Which I did.
Until you have that moment where you're looking through the scrambled signal trying to find the naked bodies and you see something and you say to yourself, I don't know who that belongs to.
But you know what? I'm just going to go with it. I'm in my room alone. Who cares?
Anyway, what we're talking about – oh, porn, right.
Oh, yeah,
so anyway,
oh, yeah, your six-year-old daughter.
So I tried to get her to do a theme song for the show and she was completely not into it. Like, not into it in an epic way. Like, I just want to – I'm super tired. You haven't fed me breakfast yet. And I'm trying to watch these stupid videos, and I closed the laptop, which of course is never a good idea, and I tried to get her to help sing a theme song. So my idea for the theme song for It's Hockey Time with Greg and Dave was simply a child, the dulcet tones of a child going, it's hockey time with Greg and Dave, it's hockey time, hooray. Like, it's a real short, punchy, memorable theme song. It's great, right?
I personally love it.
And so I tried to get her to sing it, and this is how it went when I tried to get my 6-year-old to sing our theme song.
It's hockey time with Greg and Dave.
It's hockey time, hooray.
Now, what you can hear there is the sound of someone basically at gunpoint being forced to do something that they don't want to do.
So, like, when you were holding your teddy bear hostage in front of her, were you using a knife? Was it a gun? Like, were you threatening to break the bear's neck? Like, what was the motivation
garbage
for her?
Disposal, of course. Oh, if you really want to threaten a stuffed animal in front of a 6-year-old, you don't. Yeah. They don't understand guns and knives. I think guns and knives are fun. Well, depending on what you've shown them. I show my kid The Matrix. But, like, a garbage disposal, like, she hasn't seen Halloween H2O. She doesn't know what a garbage disposal can really do to you. I put one of her teddy bears above it. I actually put her blankie, her purple blankie above it and said, if you don't sing this theme song, your blanket is just fucked.
Right, do it. I mean, that's motivation for me. I would do it.
So then this was the other take of the theme song that I attempted with my dear daughter.
This is the best one.
Is it?
This is the one that makes me laugh the hardest.
Why does it make you,
she sounds genuinely, like, in that one she sounds uninterested. In this one she sounds like she's genuinely afraid for someone's life, even her own.
I know that you derive pleasure from this. Like, I listen to these and I realize what a terrible parent I am. But I'm glad that it gives you some shits and giggles. This is take two of the It's Hockey Time theme song as interpreted by a 6-year-old.
It's Hockey Time with Greg and Dave.
It's the end of it. It's just so great. Like you've broken her will.
Like, and I remember at that point, I'm just like, it's just two lines you have to sing. It's just two lines.
You're like one of those parents who like pushes their kids in the dance and they're not really into it, but you're just like, do it.
Yeah.
Do it or I don't love you.
I put her over my head like the Ultimate Warrior and threw her in a pool before she knew how to swim. I'm just like, go at it. And she, that tone in her voice was such the, all right, I've done your reindeer games. I've played them.
Right.
Stop harassing me. Let me watch the video where the dad scares the kids by dressing up like Darth Maul and hiding behind the door and then having them eat jelly beans that smell like skunk. Like, just let me watch that video.
Dad, I'm on spring break. I've worked so hard all year. I've earned this time off. You have no idea how hard the multiplication tables are.
So multiplication, please.
I don't know how hard
it is to draw a lowercase b in the right direction.
Hey.
Oh, look, a bog. The bog is barking at me.
I bet you she could probably beat me in a cursive writing contest. I don't want to talk too much shit.
What did they teach you in kindergarten? It's literally just like,
six is first grade?
Six is kindergarten.
Oh, I thought five was kindergarten.
No, man. She was five when she started going, but like they learn how to read a page of words and, you know, they learn about science shit. And it's like, it's not cursive yet. Unless you were like a boy genius.
No, absolutely not. I don't know. When does cursive writing start? First grade? I thought that was like a first grade thing. That's why I thought she was in first grade. I don't know. What the hell do I know?
She's not. She's a real smart kid, but it crushes me sometimes when I see that backwards letter thing. I'm like, I used to think this was so endearing at Toys R Us, and now I realize that it's a point of frustration for me as a parent.
No, that's just, the first time you're right, she's got the idea. She'll just turn it around at some point. Come on.
The Stanley Cup playoffs begin this week, which is fortuitous because this is a show with just myself and Dave.
Technically, they've started already.
They've probably started already. Yeah. You're going to probably hear this after the puck drop on the first night, which is fine. It's very exciting. I happen to believe wholeheartedly and not simply just because it is my job to cover hockey or because I am a hockey fan, I would say this, even if I wasn't a hockey fan, that the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are the best postseason in professional sports. True or false?
For sure.
What about all sports? Is it better than March Madness? And I say this to someone who loves parking his ass inside of a booth and drawing out a pitcher of beer and watching a bunch of hoopies.
It's better because my love of the NCAA tournament is basically about gambling. It's basically about filling out a bracket.
But isn't that part of it, though? My love of horse racing is based entirely on gambling. I don't understand anybody who watches horse racing and are like, the majesty of the... No, who gives a shit? Like, give me the trifecta.
I've bet on sports. I've probably bet on hockey like four times in my life. Like, I don't really need the gambling to make the hockey good. The one thing I hate about the playoffs is, like today or yesterday, but depending on when you're listening to this, is the Rangers have injuries on their back end.
Mm-hmm.
They got some trouble back there. Ryan McDonough, his hand, it's broken or something. So what are they going to do? Are they going to put Dylan McElrath in that spot or Brady Shea? What are they going to do? And for some reason, here today at 1:30 in the afternoon, we don't know which guy is going to play because for some reason Alain Vigneault feels like this is some sort of competitive advantage as to whether or not he's going to dress his seventh best or eighth best defenseman. Like Marc-Andre Fleury, you want to be coy with that. I kind of get it, but we know he's going to play.
Yeah.
But Jesus, that's the one thing I hate about the playoffs is like all of this secretive stuff over nonsense.
Injury grab ass.
I
agree with you.
Thomas Vanek's week to week, so he's not going to play in the series. Just say that.
Like, that's what was so frustrating. Like the Cup final last year when the Lightning made it was a super fun time. But like John Cooper, their coach, went from being the most personable, awesome dude, looked like Michael Keaton. It was like watching a scene from Gung Ho as he's talking to the media.
Yeah,
it was very exciting.
Like
it was very funny. And then as the series went on, he just got more like short with the media more secretive with the media. And like, you know, there was the whole Ben Bishop thing where like, you know, the goalies are hurt and he's not hurt. Is he going to play? He's not going to play. And then there was no news coming from there. And it just became such a – you're right. The coaches, I think, to amuse themselves, dick around with reporters more in the playoffs than any other time during the season.
And like especially with goalies, like you think the Blackhawks are sitting around going, all right, if it's Andrei Vasilevsky, we're only going to shoot stick side tonight. If it's Ben Bishop, we're going high glove.
There's some of that, but it's not like facing a different pitcher in baseball.
And also, like once you're out there for warmups and you see who's in net, you have 30 minutes to sort of retrain your brain to go, all right, we're going to be shooting on Vasilevsky tonight. oh man, I wish I knew this at 10:45 in the morning. This way I'd be ready. No, you know what to do. Like, it's just coaches, and also coaches also preach, oh, we don't care about what's going on over there. It's all about what's going on over here. So okay, then
yeah,
that's what's going on.
Yeah,
over here.
I always found that really fun, because like when coaches say, "Oh, we don't care about what's going on in their locker room," the first thing you see when you walk into an NHL locker room is a giant whiteboard with the opponent's lineup on it.
Line combinations,
yeah, it's great.
Defense pairings, but we don't care. We pay
a scouting staff of like 50 people to go to every game and chronicle every move of our opponents, but we don't care what
no,
they do.
No. But like remember last year Tyler Johnson had like a broken hand for the last like 8 or 9 games, whatever it was. Like, I understand why you don't want to tell the other team, hey, slash our guy's hand. Mm-hmm. But at the same point, I think if we knew, the other team knows.
But that said, like, do you, like as reporters, like, we get whiny about that kind of shit. But, like, do you think that there should be some kind of a rule that they have to disclose specific injuries beyond upper body, lower body? Like, my editor at Yahoo, by the way, Steve McAllister, like, sent an edict the other day. He just got real pissed off about all this grab ass. And he's like, we're not reporting upper body, lower body anymore. Like, we're not going to do it anymore.
Well, so what are you doing? You're going to just guess?
We're just going to say injury, or if it's an upper body, we're just going to say concussion. Because like, that's what it means. I mean, essentially, when they say upper body, it means that he's got a concussion. They just don't want to say it.
Like, Ryan McDonough has a hand thing, but the Rangers never actually said hand, but we all know. We all saw what happened.
See, but that's what bothers me.
Yeah.
Like, because if his hand is hanging in its normal place, it's a lower body injury. But let's say he sees a friend across the street, and he's like, hello, friend. That's an upper body injury all of a sudden. So, depending on where the hand is.
So you could say if, like, his penis was injured, depending on the mood he was in on that particular day,
yes,
it could be a lower or an upper.
And then depending on what the Lord gave you.
Right, depending on, depending on your genetic makeup and where your father was from maybe originally, that's part of it, sure.
That's good.
You know what, though? I don't care what's hurt. I want Ryan McDonough, I feel like they know how many games he's going to be out. Give me that number. Like, we think he's going to be back for game 4. Don't tell me he's day-to-day. He's been day-to-day for, like, 9 days now. Like,
right.
That's the part that drives me nuts. But besides that, that's, like, a reporter whiny thing. Like, otherwise, I love, I cannot wait to watch the games tonight.
The one thing I got to say about the injury thing is that the one thing that bothers me more than anything is at the end of the season when they do their getaway day stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, it's this thing where for 2 months it is teams and players and everybody else going, everybody plays hurt, man. And it doesn't matter what your injuries are. You soak up in that tub and you pop a pill and, well, they don't say pop a pill. We know they do. Pop a pill and then you play through it and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the season, it's like, well, you know, I probably wouldn't have gone scoreless if it wasn't for my knee that needs surgery and my inner ear infection. And it's just like, it's like every injury possible is now disclosed at the end of the season, which really to me, like, I get it. It's sort of like the bow around the present in the sense that we need to know the full story of what happens to a team. But, like, don't tell me that injuries don't matter for 2 months then all of a sudden be like that, because then it kind of comes off as an excuse.
Or even, like, 6 months. Like, David Krejci was like, oh, by the way, my hip is just – it's like an old man's hip at this point. I gotta get it replaced. I got to get, like, you know, it's – I feel like I was at war for 3 years. The thing that bugs me the most, though, is, like, last year we all knew Tyler Johnson and someone else, too, was hurt besides – Bishop Stamkos maybe had a knee or something.
We thought he was hurt, and that's why he wasn't Tyler Johnson wasn't taking faceoffs at one point. We're all like, oh, obviously there's an injury there.
But, like, so Chicago wins game 6, and after the game, Tyler Johnson's like, yeah, my hand was totally messed up. And people get mad that they're revealing it at that. Like, remember Mike Milbury last year was, like, super pissed off. He's like, why can't we give the Blackhawks the moment in the sun? Why can't we wait to reveal our injuries?
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you think the Blackhawks care? You think the Blackhawks fans were like, whoa, 24 hours, bud. Don't you be building in excuses for now, even though we all knew you were hurt.
That's what it feels like inevitably. But, like, whenever you start talking about injuries post playing, it always feels like giant excuses.
Yeah, I don't know. I like knowing. It's excuses, but it's also like, boy, why the hell is, you know, this guy have 1 point in 9 games? And it's like, oh, well, his knee fell off in game 1. Oh, okay.
If we include the 2 NCAA playoffs and the major ones, all due respect to college hockey, but I mean, I basically tune in for your last 2 games, to be quite honest with you.
Don't care.
I would rank them Stanley Cup playoffs 1. There's no drama in the opening rounds of the NBA playoffs, so I don't think I'm going to put them 2.
It's tough now too, because we all know that Golden State's going to basically romp through the West up until at least the conference.
Up
final.
Until the Spurs, right? So I'm not going to put them 2. Baseball, okay. NFL. just two, just because NFL is two and you know in my heart as well.
It's one and done
as a Jets fan. One and done. Big battles, everybody, you know, a week of fun until you get to the Super Bowl. Then it feels like you have to wait a goddamn year to get to the game. But, like, yeah, NFL definitely number two. NBA or MLB? I would go MLB. I would go MLB. Ah, shit. I'm
going to
go NBA three and MLB four because I actually don't like the play-in game wild card nonsense that they did. I liked it more of a pure best four teams play each other kind of deal, to be honest with you.
So you're saying NCAA 5?
Oh, shit, I forgot we were doing college. Okay.
So it's that's three for me.
Stanley Cup, NFL, March Madness, NBA, MLB, college football.
Oh, right, college football.
College football is last. They can't, and it's not their fault. They can't figure out how to make it equitable.
So you're not counting bowl games. You're just the Final Four for them, basically.
Well,
I'll count
the whole thing because that puts it deeper in the basement. That you're digging up concrete and going underneath the concrete in the basement if you're telling me we're going to include the Weed Whacker Bowl with Fresno State and Indiana Tech.
What do you got against the Weed Whacker? it's a great product that deserves promotion.
The greatest thing ever about college football bowls is the fact that you can look through the annals of history at the names of the bowls and see how our entire commerce system has changed.
Right.
The moment we get a pets.com bowl, is this the moment in which the dot-com bubble begins to burst?
The Belk Bowl.
Yeah, the Belk Bowl. You can go back a ways. You see these companies. There's probably an Enron Bowl at some point that it went by the wayside. Like, you can see trace it through the years, ladies and gentlemen, and see the history of where our economy has gone.
You laugh, but just wait until it's like 2025. The NHL has ads on jerseys, and it's like, welcome to the Tim Hortons first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
No.
So that it'll be the Canadian Tire Conference Finals.
I know there's going to be ads on jerseys in some facet. Like, the NBA is actually voting on it soon about ads on their jerseys. And you know that's going to happen lickety-split. The NHL tried to sell ads on their World Cup of Hockey jerseys, and no one wanted to buy them, which I thought was an interesting thing that happened. But here's the thing. When they put ads on jerseys, I really feel like that the people in charge, at least this regime under Bettman, has been very protective about over-commercializing all of it. And I know that's hard for people to hear when you see the Bridgestone Winter Classic and how everything's branded. The Geico Stanley Cup playoffs is a thing. But, like, it's not the Hart Trophy presented by
No sport has
milk.
Yeah, but no sports
good for
have,
your heart.
Like, when they get
is
the
milk
little
good for your heart?
No, I think milk's milk. I think
milk's
depends.
Good for your bones. The heart's not a bone. What's good for your heart? Eggs.
Is it?
Probably.
The heart? I think red wine. I think
so. Oh, there you go.
Right.
So the red wine. Robert Mondavi.
The Sterling Vineyards.
That's right.
Heart Trophy.
Why not?
But, like, all right. So I disagree because I feel like hockey overdoes it. Because in football, like, no other sport has, like, the World Series Trophy isn't like the Chevrolet World Series Trophy.
No.
It's just the World Series Trophy. Same thing with others.
But the Stanley Cup's not sponsored.
No, but that's
itself.
But like everything else is. I mean, the boards. I mean, like, that's the thing too. We take that for granted because, like, we're not young, but, like, people who are, like, 10, 20 years older than us can, like, remember a 20-year part of their life where the boards had nothing on them.
Nothing
on. Now it's everywhere.
But
boards,
I don't care about that.
The four parts of center ice there, there's always ads on those little spots, too.
I guess I don't care about it because But the thing is that we've seen what oversaturation looks like. Like, when you look at the European games and it's guys wearing basically NASCAR jumpers on top of what looks like a piece of asphalt that a child drew on as far as what the ice looks like with those ads on it. Like, we know what that looks like, and we've not reached that point. Like, when you can see the worst down the road and you've not reached that part yet, then you're pretty cool with what you got now. And I feel like as long as the major awards aren't sponsored, they might be at some point, but as long as they don't change the names.
The award show is sponsored.
Yeah, but the awards themselves aren't sponsored, I don't think. Maybe they are, but I don't think a lot of them are.
The NBA doesn't have an award show.
No.
They just give out the – I mean, it was like last year, it was like, here's the Hart Trophy. Here's the MVP for Steph Curry. And it was like, what just today? Like, yeah,
Don't change the names of the awards to corporate sponsors. Keep the ads and the jerseys somewhat conservative. Like, you know, don't mess around with the crest and stuff. And don't give the Stanley Cup a title sponsor. Don't do that.
Like what if they did rename the awards? It was like the AMA Red Cross Heart Trophy. Like, they found like little cute tie-ins and stuff.
Oh, with each one?
Yeah, like the Selkie.
It'd be like Silk Almond Milk. The Almond Milk Selkie.
or like brought to you by the TV show Silk Stockings.
Silk Stockings. Wow, geez,
the Silk Stockings.
Characters were welcome on that show. I'll tell you that now.
That was good.
The Calder.
That's a telephone company.
Is there a telephone company called Calder?
No, I mean like the AT&T.
Oh, the Calder.
Dial up the Calder trophy.
The Verizon Calder.
Right. The Verizon Calder.
Calder,
where,
yeah.
where we dial up a winner every year. Hi, I'm Connor McDavid.
The Jack Lynx, Jack Adams. And they get you a big bouquet of beef jerky along with your trophy.
What would the Norris be?
You see, that's a tough one.
Norris.
It'd be the Dean Norris trophy. It would be the big, bald supporting character from Breaking Bad who comes out and hands you the trophy and says, good on you, boy.
Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris comes out and does like a roundhouse kick on like the other two finalists. It's like we have Eric Carlson, Drew Doughty, and Oliver Ekman-Larsson on stage. And now Chuck Norris will roundhouse the two losers.
Fantastic.
And like Doughty and Larsson go through the wall.
Fantastic.
And he just gives it to yeah.
Yep.
See, you're coming around now on sponsorship.
And then he kicks them both, and they don't put their hands up. And he's like, "You see, this is why it's not for defensive players." And he fells them. It's just beautiful.
We have
Chuck Norris Trophy.
Peter Jennings gives out the Jennings Trophy every year
because he's Canadian.
Because is he?
Yeah. Oh, he's very Canadian.
Whoa! Peter Jennings has infiltrated the American news system all
Jennings
these years.
Was I thought
this.
Jennings was Canadian, and Brokaw was Canadian, or is he not Canadian? Rather's not Canadian. I knew that.
I didn't know Peter Jennings was Canadian.
No, he's definitely. Listen to how he talks.
I didn't pick up on ooting and abooting a lot.
He sounds like the kind of guy that's got maple syrup on his chin and he's handing you his gun out of fear.
Who would the Vezina Trophy be sponsored by?
So the Vezina Trophy would be Visine, because you got to be able to see the puck really well. The Visina Trophy.
The Visina
Visina Trophy.
We'll even change the names a little bit to actually help the sponsors.
Yeah, to help the sponsors,
in.
Exactly.
More money, more problems. Yep.
And although there would be serious temptation to have the Stanley Power Tools Cup, I'll say this. What would be the company that you'd be okay as a title sponsor for the actual cup? There's to me, it would have to be a company that would allow you the chance to put something inside the cup when it's handed off.
Hmm.
Let's say if it was a beer company. Like you fill the cup with beer, you hand it to Jonathan Toews, and then he just saturates his teammates with the beer, and that's in the cup. Like that kind of thing would be interesting to me. I don't want to see a gecko, like a little gecko inside the cup, like a CGI gecko. He's
no.
Good on you, Jonathan.
All right. This blimey cup over there. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking me all of that box. I was in there the whole time.
This cup is huge. Here at Geico, we have huge savings. 15% every time you call. Just the way you shoot 15% on. I have no real tie in here. I'm just a sponsor.
Was that Peter Pan ad, a Geico ad, the one where he's at his high school reunion and Peter Pan's there?
Yes.
Yeah. I like that one a lot. I feel like Geico's ads off book, off main main storyline Gecko are actually really funny.
I feel like Geico, it's either they make me laugh or they make me want to kill myself. There's no middle ground with Geico ads. Like, and the thing is, and they overplay. And the thing is, if you watch hockey,
yeah, you see it every time.
Especially
because the NHL has three sponsors.
Those fucking Discover ads make me want to murder people. Hey! Oh, that's great! Oh, I didn't even get what they were doing.
Are you talking about the one where you're talking to yourself?
The ones where the two people. The first one they did, I thought they were twins. I think it's like two Indian girls, and they're like, "Oh, my sister always says that, Kelly, Jane."
Right, but then they changed it to where it's the same. It's
people
that look talking to yourself.
No, but like it's just there's one where it's like an old like white cop dude in a car who's like all gruff and talks like this. That guy is not the same guy on the other end. It's different people on the ads.
See, I thought the whole bit was that like it was like. You're of two minds, and one of your minds happens to work in a call center somewhere in Bangladesh, and then you're in your kitchen, and then you're talking to yourself about why it's necessary to get Discover Card.
Honestly, I would love to have been in the room when they pitched that, because I just, and also like the mom who's like, yeah, my son shaved his head, a Bruins logo into his head. I need hats. Lots of hats. No, you need one hat. Hats aren't underwear. You buy the kid one hat and he wears it until his hair grows back in. What the hell? Who writes these commercials for Discover?
But here's the problem with it.
Enterprise.
I know Enterprise, where they have the NHL fans coming into the city and getting the rental car and then putting the little flag in the rental car. Like who carries a car flag with them?
With Semi, I'm away.
But here's the thing. Like as bad as NHL commercials are. You have to remember that when the NHL started on the Outdoor Life Network and then Versus, do you remember who the title sponsor of the Between Periods games stuff was?
Was it like Amber Vision or something like that?
Yeah, it was Blue Blockers.
The Wax Fact. Welcome to the Wax Fact Intermission Report.
We're going to show you some highlights with these here hawkers, but first you got to try these sweet Blue Blockers. I love that infomercial. But no, it was Waste Management. Waste, WM.
Like the mafia?
Gold.
Whoa,
it was a green logo with a yellow WM. It was Waste Management. The NHL, the NHL's ratings were so strong that the only sponsor they could attract was a garbage company, a company that takes care of your garbage.
Like, oh, I think you need some protection over here. How about we come in and sponsor your show? A little Waste Management, huh? You got a garbage man and Mike Milbury on here. Why don't we do a little Waste Management?
You going to do another one of these shows next between periods?
Okay.
Well, if you want to, then there better be an envelope in my hand.
Not for nothing. I heard you saying some pretty mean things about Vinny Trocheck. Why you got to talk about an Italian-American that way?
You know,
huh?
You should talk about more Mike Camilleri. Enough of this Crosby. Enough of this Ovechkin.
Oh.
You know who was great? Dino Cicerelli. That's the guy. That's a player for you.
I can't think of any other Italian-sounding hockey names.
You know who you should be talking about? Not so much the Stamkos and this Kucherov. You know who was great? Gino Cavallini and his brother Peter. Goaltending. You want to talk about goaltending? First of all, Luongo, Vezina. Vezina that boy up. But you know who's even better? Rick Tabaracci.
Oh, I'm getting a little tired of these foreigners coming over here. From where are they from? What's this Croatia? Is that even a real place? Forget about it over
is
here.
Is that even a real place?
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it's a high concentration of Croatian hockey players in the league.
There are, aren't there?
Name one Croatian hockey player. Drazen Petrovic played in the NBA. I'm just going to tell you that right now. That's the only Croatian I kind of know.
Drazen.
Well, hold on. Are they part of that sort of the breakup of the Czech? Like, there's probably some guys that weren't associated with Croatia back in the 80s that would be now. You ever notice that? Like, the big change when the old school Russians went from being from the USSR to whatever parts of Russia they were from?
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not really a geographer. Not really
geography.
By the way, we started this off like 20 minutes ago with, like, here's our playoff preview.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway.
Now we're doing Italian-American mafia jokes.
So, playoff preview. Let's go through the series. Eastern Conference. Your picks, my picks. The Florida Panthers against the New York Islanders. That's a series I'll be following and going to Brooklyn to see that exciting series because my Sean Leahy of Puck Daddy will be covering the Penguins and Rangers because he drew the longer straw.
Oh.
And also, he's a Penguins fan. I have the Panthers in six.
Yeah.
Better goaltending, better offensive balance. Something weird about the Islanders, man. Like, there's not a point in this season where I looked at that team and said the pieces fit. It seems like everybody's always floating in and out of the lineup, and you know they've got some good defensemen. And I wish that Halak was healthy because I don't really have all that much confidence in Greiss. He's played 40 minutes in the playoffs in his life. And also, I feel like there's actually going to be a palpable home ice advantage for the Panthers with all the rats flying around and people in Kevin Spacey sweatshirts. So I'm going to go with the Panthers in six.
Panthers in five.
Five. Good. Not even that extra game of respect for mighty Jack Capuano.
Jack Capuano. Oh,
look at that guy.
Capuano and Luongo.
This is why I picked the Islanders. The Islanders. Well, all of a sudden, I'm from Chicago.
Yeah,
I was a Chicago Italian.
The Islanders.
Yeah, five games. Why?
Richard Kimball killed his wife. A jury convicted him. A jury of his peers convicted him. He's guilty, all right?
I didn't kill my wife. I don't care. It's one of the greatest exchanges in any action movie of all time.
It's one of the most amazing movies ever because it has it portrays like regular police officers as the stupidest people in the world for 2 hours. It's just like, hey, oh, I saw the evidence. I don't care.
Tommy Lee Jones is amazing. I'll tell you why. The first part of the Tommy Lee Jones resurrection was as one of the villains in which Steven Seagal movie, do you remember?
Oh, the one on the ship.
Under Siege,
yeah.
He was a rock and roll rebel army guy, or Navy guy, and with him and Gary Busey were the villains.
Gary Busey was like the inside man.
On a battleship. So then after that, he went to, I think, The Fugitive, and then he got like super respectful, and he won an Oscar and stuff. I might have those two reversed, but that's the first part of it. But think about like if Under Siege and The Fugitive didn't happen, we'd have no Tommy Lee Jones and Men in Black.
Right.
We'd have no Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face and Batman Forever. And all of the other joyous things that Tommy Lee Jones has given us. The Client, My God, oh, all of these things.
The movie with the guy with the gun and the coin and the murders and the desert and the things and the Coen brothers.
Oh, you mean No Country for Old Men?
No Country for Old Men.
Absolutely.
He's good in that.
The Tommy Lee Jones resurrection started with Under Siege and The Fugitive. Yeah. I don't care.
You won an Oscar for The Fugitive?
I think so.
Yeah.
Huh. Harrison Ford's never won an Oscar, and that bothers me. Because I feel like Harrison Ford has held together so many movies, and like I think if you made Raiders today, to me, like, that would be something that gets Oscar buzz, like a physical performance, some little romance going on, some good acting.
Disagree.
You don't think so?
I think he's a really bad actor. I think he's a movie star. I don't think he's an actor.
All right.
Name some movies where he's been a good actor, where like you were like, wow, what a compelling performance. Remember Regarding Henry?
Raiders.
He's an action star. That's what I mean. There. Action star. He's
I would
actor.
Say, like, I'm not a huge Blade Runner fan, but he was good in that movie.
Okay, yeah, he's good in that movie.
I would listen, Ned. Again, you're going to make the action star argument, but tell me that you didn't get chills when he said, "Get off my plane," in Air Force One.
Oh my God, that's what I mean. Like, he's not like. I mean, I don't want to say he's Daniel Day-Lewis.
His Oscar bid movies are kind of dog shit, though. Like Regarding Henry and What Lies Beneath. And stuff like that.
Oh, the one where with Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, that's what I mean. Like, he reminds, you know what's funny? He was in that shitty movie with Josh Hartnett where they played cops. Like, that's the perfect teaming of two guys who aren't bad
Hollywood
actors.
Homicide. George Clooney, movie star or actor?
He's an actor. He can act.
Brad Pitt, movie star or actor? Ooh, I know. Because here's the thing. He's a character actor in a leading man's body. And you're conflicted because you remember 12 Monkeys. Yeah. And you remember stuff like that where he actually, Fight Club, where he actually is pretty good.
Yeah.
Then you also know that he did Troy.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, he really is a character actor in like this like super hot dude's leading man body.
Yeah, super hot.
But yeah, Panthers in five. I just think the Panthers they're better across the board. I trust Luongo over Grice. I think their forwards are better. I like their D better. I like their coach better. I like the fact that they're healthier. Trocheck's not going to play, but Hamonic's banged up. Anders Lee is out. I just think the Panthers are better. And they've probably pissed off the Panthers by completely tanking the last overtime plus last game of the season.
Well, in fairness, though, like the Panthers co-owner said that he would rather play the Islanders than the Rangers. So it's almost like he selected them, and the Islanders said, you know what?
Ooh, yeah.
We'll rest our entire team and make sure that you get a chance to play us,
and
sir.
And then jam it. And that's the thing, too. Is like,
and then go out in five.
I feel bad that you have to cover that game, that series, because it's like the two of the three worst attended teams in the league.
They are, but at the same time, they're also two teams that have not won a playoff series since the Clinton administration.
Yeah. Oh, I'm into it. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm not somebody who decides what series I'm going to watch based on attendance, but I just feel like you're going to be like shouting into like an empty void for 2 weeks.
Well, I'm interested to
see. Sasha Barkov's awesome.
I'm interested to see what the playoff atmosphere is in Brooklyn. Like, this will be the first time they're having playoff games in Brooklyn, and the entire year, outside of a couple Ranger games, there's been absolutely no vibe in that place. Like, is there going to be a vibe for the series? They don't even care. I mean, Islanders fans don't give a shit about the Panthers. Like, that's part of the equation. And as a Devils fan, I know that feeling. Like, you know, when your franchise is playing a team that you don't give a shit about, and you're all you're thinking of how exciting it is when you play the Rangers or play the Flyers, like, it's tough. It's a different vibe when you play someone outside of your division, someone you don't really care about in the playoffs.
So you like the Penguins, I assume?
Penguins in five. That's my five gamer. I think this is a buzzsaw. I'm not worried about Malkin's integration back in the lineup. I love the fact that Fleury is healthy. And the Rangers, to me, are a team not only that is just going to be atrocious defensively now without McDonagh, but they're a team that I think they're an old team that doesn't know the window's closed. And, it just goes to show you how far Eric Staal's star has fallen, in the sense that that guy had 3 goals in 20 games of the Rangers and hasn't been pilloried by the New York media. Like, no one gives a shit.
He's bad.
And, like, imagine how many articles have been written about Rick Nash, and all Nash has done is, like, be not amazing. Just be good, like, right? And like, he's a constant source of concern and debate and targeting by the New York media. And then Eric Staal comes here. He has 3 goals in 20 games, and it's just like, I don't even know if he's appeared in the New York Post back page.
Well, I think it's also because he's been playing third line minutes, and I don't think anyone was really expecting anything out of him, while Nash is meanwhile like
a
top
do.
Line.
You kind of give up a pretty good package for him. Would you do that as a favor to your – this is a Red Bull, by the way.
Was it 2 seconds? 2 second round picks? Yeah, the Rangers would have screwed those up anyway. But yeah, I don't even think they need Malkin to win the series. I think it'll go 6 just because Lundqvist, but
– do you think Lundqvist is hurt? Like, he's clearly not been the same goalie this year. He's been pulled a couple times. I know he was sick towards the end of the season.
I don't think so. I think he's – I don't think he's – I mean, he still wound up with a 921 playing behind a train wreck of a team. I think he's – I mean, maybe something happened in practice the other day. I don't know what it was because obviously we weren't there.
There's something off about him. But, maybe it's just he's old now. He's right. Getting up there in years.
He's the sixth oldest goalie in the NHL. I say this all the time, and it blows my mind because he's still at the top of his game, I think. But the Rangers are just – they're just not good enough.
Do you think the window's closed? Do you think the last gasp was last year in the conference final?
I mean, I didn't think that until maybe halfway through this season, but now I
do. Where's Larry Brooks of the New York Post on that? I mean, I remember he said that they're done, and then he said that I was wrong, that they're – well, he didn't actually say I was wrong. He said that they're back.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know he wrote
that
one.
Are they done or are they back? Where are they now in the New York Post?
I'm sure, like, once they lose to the Penguins, then they'll be done again. I hope Lundqvist becomes like Dominic Hasek, where, like, he goes somewhere else and finds his cup. But it's just
Detroit.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
The Tampa Bay Lightning against the Detroit Red Wings will be very interesting because, obviously, Tampa Bay is missing Stralman and Stamkos. Tyler Johnson was a little banged up towards the end of the season.
Hedman.
I have a theory on Detroit, and I have them winning this series in six. And my theory on Detroit is that they played so bad in the last two games of the season because they had the weight of the 25-year playoff streak on them, right? And so I think that because of that, they play terribly, and now the weight's going to be lifted, and they'll play okay in the playoffs. They'll get enough goaltending to beat Tampa. Tampa, I just can't pick Tampa with missing those two big pieces.
Tampa in seven.
Yeah.
I just think Detroit stinks. I think Detroit and Tampa are probably on the same level at this exact moment with the guys who are out. Jimmy Howard, I don't trust. Mrazek, I don't trust. Ben Bishop, I do. I think Tampa at home, but the home, like, Tampa's been really good at home. Detroit's been terrible on the road. Mm-hmm. I don't think Detroit felt the weight of it or anything. I just think Detroit stinks.
And according to the atrocious Steve Simmons of the Toronto Sun, Pavel Datsyuk let his team down going back to Russia after the season to be with his daughter.
Fucking
his estranged daughter.
Someone else tweeted it too that this was Gary Bettman's dream playoffs with two Florida teams and three California teams. Like, I worked at the NHL, man. Nobody fucking wants three California teams and two Florida teams, man. Like, you gotta, like, if you mean it from the standpoint of Gary Bettman's dumb and he really wants this because he wants the U.S. to have all these teams and weird markets go to the playoffs, maybe he does, but this isn't a dream. Like, if the NHL really, really had its way, Toronto would be in the playoffs every single year.
We do things in a voiceover studio, and we actually are in here longer than we should be, I just realized. And I didn't have the on-air button on. We only have it for like an hour.
Oh, we got to be out here at 2:30.
Yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, whatever.
So
Detroit could win that series, but I just think Tampa will find a way.
I would say you're wrong. Finally, the Washington Capitals and Philadelphia Flyers. I have the Caps winning in seven. I know everybody thinks this is going to be a short series, and I think it probably could be a short series based on the Flyers maybe expending all of their energy just to get into the playoffs. But I'll go with the Caps in seven. I think the death of Ed Snyder, the Flyers owner, I think is a big deal here, where the two games in Philly could be a six-period wake for the guy, and all of a sudden the Flyers come back and tie the series or something.
I think it's going to be Caps in seven. I can see the Caps winning the first two in D.C., and then they go to Philly, and it's like you said, like it's emotional. And not for nothing, all that stuff is going to be like the narrative if the Flyers do well. But then the Flyers have been playing really well for like a month and a half. They're probably one of the five or six hottest teams going into the playoffs, but Caps are just – they're vulnerable, I think, but I think they're better than Philly.
How many games?
Seven.
Seven?
I'll say seven.
Oh, that's exciting.
I'm with you on that.
But we're both picking the Caps in seven, and a team that can't win a game seven, basically. But we all think that Justin Williams
– I mean, that's why they got him, specifically for
seven.
The one game in the series.
That would be the best. I mean, seriously, like – as much as I like writing about shit that doesn't work, like bad trades and stuff like that, I like to write about a good smart acquisition, and like getting the only guy in the league who's known for scoring in game sevens on a team where they are just dog shit in game sevens was brilliant. It's like the perfect fix. It was the perfect fix.
Justin Williams took the ice for game seven and was hurt in warm-ups on Thursday and did not play. He was filled in for by Jay Beagle, who did not score in 4 minutes of ice time.
Poor Jay Beagle. Western Conference, Chicago, and the St. Louis Blues. Now, before we get your pick here, I'm going to ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a big, dumb sucker who is going to pick the fucking Blues to beat the Blackhawks in this series.
Oh,
because the Blackhawks are vulnerable and everybody thinks the Blues are due. And you just want to jump on this stupid bandwagon that everybody seems to be on about Chicago losing in the first round to a team that can't win in the playoffs.
Do you really think that I would be so dumb as to fall for the fact that the Blues are healthy, the Blackhawks are banged up, they're missing Duncan Keith, Corey Crawford's played one game in a month? Why would I ever fall for that? No, but seriously, Blues in six. I think the Blues are going to win the series in six games. I don't trust the Blackhawks right now. Remember last year, the Blackhawks would have lost in round one if not for Scott Darling. Corey Crawford's going into the playoffs having played one game in a month. And the one game he played, he got lit up. I think the Blues, I think this is the year. I'm Charlie Brown. The Blues are Lucy. The football is a first-round series. We're kicking that ball this
time. Yeah, you know who the Blackhawks are? They're Snoopy as the Red Baron, and they're on their doghouse, and they're firing bullets, and they're taking out the Blues one by one with their scarf flapping in the wind and Woodstock's cheering on the ground. Whoople, 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 very happy about it. I say the Blackhawks in seven because I say to myself when I make picks, what would crush the soul of an opposing fan base in this situation? And pushing the Blackhawks to a game seven and then seeing Jonathan Toews score two goals and David Backes go minus three or something in a game seven. Like, that'd be the perfect way to end this incarnation of the Blues. Because keep this in mind, too, about the Blues. Like, when they lose the series, Ken Hitchcock probably gone, which may or may not be the smartest thing. I mean, again, I think the only reason he came back was because they looked over at Pittsburgh and said, oh, so this is what happens when you make a move based on what you think you need in the playoffs, is that all of a sudden your regular season success goes down the toilet. So I think they'll probably go. Backes won't be back. They'll reconfigure the whole team. I'm excited about that. Sometimes you root for someone to press the detonator down and implode the building versus to see a team advance. So Blackhawks in seven.
Or you could just delight in the fact that a team that struggled for many years is going to get over the hump for once. You maniacal son of a bitch.
Well, I guess we'll just transition then to the Kings and Sharks then.
Kings and four.
Before I ask you your pick here, let me ask you a simple question. Are you one of these fucking suckers that's picking the San Jose Sharks to beat the Los Angeles Kings in the first round series because they're due?
No, of course not. The Sharks aren't going to win this series. They're just not. The Sharks are the poor man's Kings. They literally have the Kings' backup goalie from last year starting in net.
Right.
It's just they're not good enough.
There are certain things I just can't do. Even if I want, like, listen, nothing would make me happier than the Blues and Sharks winning. Like, that'd be really fun to have new teams go through, have the two dynastic teams gone in the first round, fresh blood moving forward. Not necessarily good for web traffic or interest in the playoffs. Yeah, exactly. But fun from that perspective. And, like, but I just don't see it. Like, you're asking me to bet against Jonathan Toews against the team that he knows they can beat. And you're asking me to bet against Jonathan Quick, who, for my money, like I said many times before, is one of the best postseason goalies I've seen in my life. You're asking me to bet against that guy when he's playing his protege and his arch rival in a playoff series. I can't do it. I don't think they're going to lose. And I feel like I'm an outlier here because everyone's getting on the bandwagon. Everybody's having a big teal balloon party for the Sharks team and having a Joe Thornton love fest, and that's great. But, like, I'm the guy who picked them every year. I'm the guy who picked them and then took a pie in the face at center ice at a Kings game because I picked them.
Oh, is that why? I thought it was because you were a dick. Was there actually, like, a reason? I thought they were just like, I don't like Greg Wyshynski.
Will Wheaton.
Let's bring him here.
Will Wheaton. You can find the video, I think, online. Will Wheaton was one of the people that hit me with a pie. And I'm sure when people saw it, it's like, oh, obviously it's because he's a Deep Space Nine fan. No, it's because I bet against the Kings, and it was the series where the Sharks blew the 3-0 lead and the Kings came back. I can't do it again. I cannot.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
The Sharks this year were very good from beginning to end. They are a very good team.
They are.
They're just playing the wrong team.
Lovely jerseys, great facial hair.
If they were playing Anaheim, they could beat Anaheim. I just don't think they can. It's about matchups. Mm-hmm. It's about just the personnel on both sides. There is also, I remember at the very beginning of the year we talked about this because San Jose was 3-0 and the Kings, I think the Kings were not really all that great to start the year. And you thought the Sharks would have more points than the Kings, which you were wrong about, and I was right about.
But I was right; they'd be in the playoffs.
But your basis on for having that feeling was Pete DeBoer year one
gets the best out of his team in year one.
So why would this not be 2012 all over again?
It could.
Like Devil's Rangers, could be the Kings.
If they get past
the
Kings, well, yeah, but he's already shown he can't beat the Kings. It's a problem.
Oh, yeah. He beat him twice, though. He was the only coach to beat him twice in the playoffs that year.
I think it's like if they get past the Kings, we could be looking at something special, but they got to get past the Kings. I don't think they can.
Like, I'll be honest. I want the Sharks to win. I want Joe Thornton to have more opportunities to score four goals and take out his penis in front of a national audience and celebrate. But I just don't think it's going to happen. Kings in six.
I picked the Kings in six as well. You mentioned the Ducks, Anaheim, and Nashville. This is one that I'm kind of feeling iffy on, and I feel bad about it because, spoiler warning, I picked the Ducks to win the Cup.
Yeah, me too.
I picked them before the season. I stuck with that pick. Yeah. But I think Nashville's a dangerous team because I think they've got more offense going for them in this playoff than they usually do. I think Pekka Rinne is playing better. I worry about the Ducks' overall health sometimes, and I'm not really a fan of picking a team that's got the two-headed goalie monster going on. I feel like they might have that too. But I picked the Ducks in this series. I picked them in six, and that's a pick made with my heart rather than my head, maybe because I want to be right.
I'm worried because everybody seems to think the Ducks are going to roll in this series, and I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. I don't get it because they're missing David Perron, who has been fantastic since he got there.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the Predators can score. They have Pekka Rinne. They got Roman Josi, who apparently one anonymous scout told Craig Custance of ESPN that he would rather have Roman Josi than Erik Karlsson. That's another show. I'm not going to rant about that now. But the Ducks, I was looking at this when I was doing my like preview stuff. The Ducks at 5-on-5 for the year, goal differential, what do you think it was?
I don't know. What was it?
Minus one.
Yeesh.
But they were really crappy in October.
Mm-hmm.
But their power play is number one. Their PK is number one. I just the Ducks in seven. I'm not feeling really good about it.
Yeah, I'm not either. It's one of those things. But again, like the only thing that drives my passion for picking the Ducks for anything is to see that big, jubbly-faced Bruce Boudreau raise up the cup and then bounce up and down, and his whole body shakes up and down like a wubble-wubble, and then he gets so excited, and that's all I want to see in life. I want to see Bruce hoist the cup.
I'm all for a bald man hoisting the cup.
Indeed.
I want to see a bald American speak for me and my people.
There you go. You could have Getzlaff and Bruce Boudreau. Two baldies.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, Corey Perry's kind of, I mean, I don't want to get into this whole
thing. He's fair-haired.
He's thin-haired and not really, but Ryan Getz, it's also like the NCAA tournament where the really good team has a really tough first round. They win in overtime or whatever, and they go on to win the NCAA championship. I think that's going to be the Ducks thing here. They're going to have a really, really hard time in round one. They'll find a way. Then they'll beat L.A. and go on their way.
And then finally, the other matchup, the Dallas Stars against the Minnesota Wild. The Wild are basically effed in this series. I mean,
so
missing Parise, missing Thomas Vanek for the first couple of games. Not a big loss there. But just, you know, backed into the playoffs. The Dallas Stars get Sagan back. They should roll through this thing. I picked them in five. You probably picked them in four, right?
I'm actually going to go Stars in three.
Okay.
I think they're going to win game three by like nine. And then the Wild are going to be like, it's not worth it to get risk injury for next season. You might as well just shut it down.
Torchetti walks out to center ice with a white flag and just starts waving
it.
Yeah.
That's it. Thanks. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, the Stars are just too. Again, that's another one of those series where it seems obvious.
And it could easily be like Devin Dubnyk steals the whole thing.
Then Stars defense is just giving up glorious chance after glorious chance. And, you know, Mikko Koivu has nine goals in six games and they win the series. But Dallas in three. Also.
And as we lock it into for the Puck Soup audience, you know, who obviously are very now interested in these Stanley Cup picks that we're about to make. What is your cup final? Have you picked a cup final?
I'm like you. I had Ducks over Caps before the season, so I'm just going to go Ducks over Caps now.
I had Ducks over Montreal before the season, one of those teams, I'm not going to tell you who, turned into a hot steaming pile of flaming garbage that refuses to acknowledge that they're a hot steaming pile of flaming garbage, and we're going to bring their coach back next year. So I'm going to jettison the Montreal from my picks because it's impossible for them to win the cup since they're not in the playoffs, and I'm going to pick the Pittsburgh Penguins, the flightless foul against the flight foul in the final with the Ducks beating them somehow.
I think Kings-Ducks is going to be for the cup in the second round, and I think Caps-Penguins is going to be for the cup final in the second round because of the stupid way the NHL playoffs are set up. But, yeah, I mean, don't feel bad. I think I had Montreal in the conference final before the season, and I felt pretty good about it, too, when they started off the year and then shit their stupid French-Canadian pants. God, why would they keep Michel Therrien? I don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense. A couple things before we end the show. We like to reach out to the listeners of Puck Soup and get some questions in the queue that they want to ask us about stuff. Our first one comes from Mike Marshall, who was a whiny Buffalo fan, asking us, why is Jack Eichel being put so far down in the Calder discussion? I think the answer is obvious,
yeah,
Mike.
It is.
And the answer is?
He's just not the best rookie in the NHL.
Yeah, but I think their problem is that they feel like there's been no discussion of him. And here's my answer to that. Once you have an established top three, and there ain't nobody cracking Panarin, Gossespierre, and McDavid in that top three. Like, that's your top three. Like, right. Print it. It doesn't matter.
He hasn't had one of the three best rookie seasons.
Yeah.
That's why.
You don't really – like, there's nobody that you would take out in favor of Eichel in right. that conversation. So that's why. It's no slight to Eichel. He's going to be a fine player. He's going to lead the Sabres to, you know, some great
right.
playoff disappointment because they'll never win the Cup.
Wow.
But
oh, you got the knives out for the Sabres. The Sabres will never win the Cup.
Buffalo fans know that I love them and I love their city. I love their wings.
You have an Eichel jersey, don't you?
I do, yeah.
He's
Sarge the Duck wants to know which team in the playoffs gets the biggest celebrity bandwagon outside of L.A. Well, I mean, New York has some hangers on. You'll see your Adrian Grenier at the game. You'll see maybe Margot Robbie if she's in town, hopefully.
Hi, Margot.
You'll see John McEnroe at the Rangers games. The Islanders will no doubt have some celebrities there, too. Guy who runs the pizza place down the street from Barclays.
Hit Girl goes to the games.
Maybe
Chloe Moretz.
Maybe Hillary Duff gets nostalgic for the Islanders and shows up there after the Comrie marriage broke up. As far as other celebrity bandwagons, the Blackhawks always have a huge one. Vince Vaughn shows up to the games.
Right. It's like the teams that are in the big USA.
Yeah, you'll get
that's
your Jim Belushi's out there. Maybe he brings a dog from K-9 if it's still alive.
Jim Belushi, superstar.
But again, the real intriguing one this year, obviously, is the fact that the Florida Panthers have celebrity fan Kevin Spacey, and will he show up for a playoff game?
I'm stunned. I remember when I first became aware of the Spacey and Space sweatshirt, I thought there was no way in hell he would ever acknowledge it. The fact that he went to a game is amazing. If he goes to a playoff game, I mean, he probably has time. Like, he's not probably filming another episode of House of Cards anytime soon, right? He can make it work.
Corey John Milano wants to know, what's your favorite hip-hop video containing hockey jerseys? That for me, that's easy. It's Jump Jump by Chris Cross.
That's what I was going to say.
Where they're wearing the crossed-out Devils jerseys. But I think Snoop's worn... definitely in that sort of like West Coast, you know.
Crisscross didn't wear hockey jerseys though. Didn't they wear like those backwards baseball jerseys that weren't actual baseball jerseys?
They definitely wore hockey jerseys in one of their videos though. Whatever maybe the follow up to Jump Jump. Crawl.
Kneel, kneel.
Skip, skip.
Hop, hop. The Mac Down will make you walk. Uh-huh,
some of them try to rhyme, but they can't rhyme like this.
One of the kids from the Crisscross is dead.
Yeah, I know. Poor little out.
And actually, a guy who died this year was like who was a rapper, an R&B guy, wore jerseys and stuff. I forget what his name is.
One of the Chris Cross guys, his name was totally crossed out on the sheet of alive people.
Oh, my God.
What? This wrote it. Mike Mosen wanted to know, what team not making the playoffs is the sweetest? That's an interesting question. Like, is there a team that you felt really good about them not making the playoff cut?
And they didn't.
I mean, the answer...
Just like in general.
Like you're reveling
in their misery.
Yeah, kicking dirt on their grave.
Hmm.
I mean, I was mad at the Devils for being as good as they were because I wanted them to tank this season. But I can't say that I would be happy that they missed.
Colorado. Fuck Colorado. They're wasting talent over there with idiot Patrick Waugh thinking that his team needs to trade for more grit guys. I can't wait till they trade Matt Duchene for Mark Savard so Mark Savard can like hang out in the locker room and give inspirational speeches about how to fight through. Like you are a bad coach. You do not. How can you be a coach in 2015-16 who does not understand, I don't want guys just shooting the puck on net from center ice to help their Corsi? You moron. Stop. Jesus.
I was happy to see Vancouver miss because I felt like that was one of the teams that was completely fooling themselves about what their lot in life was. Like, they had nothing. Like, they made the playoffs. They maybe thought that they had something. They had nothing. And it made me happy to see them miss the playoffs spectacularly and then have to reassess life. Like, that made me happy. Like, they're going to be better off for this having happened.
I changed my answer. I want to say Vancouver because I forgot Jerome McGinley got screwed again.
I like a lot of the like Landeskog.
I like their players.
Duchene,
it just annoys me that like Patrick Waugh thinks he can just show up and like not do anything and just like yell stuff like, "Hey, go play better." And Jerome McGinley's now. I mean, he could have signed with Tampa. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jerome.
We have a new department on the show, new because it's our second episode. It's called This or That. It's in which Dave and I ask each other questions and ask whether we'd like this or like that.
Yes, it's not sponsored by anybody yet. But it could be. All right. I got one.
Yes.
Greg's got one.
Mm-hmm.
Greg hasn't told me his, but I told him mine because he tricked me like a poker player.
Yeah, that's right.
He got me to turn my cards over.
I used that reverse psychology. I was like, oh, Lozo, you'll never tell me yours. I mean, why would you? You're probably afraid.
That Maryland education paying off.
That's right.
Once
College
again.
Park represent.
Okay. This is for everybody, though. You can respond and tell me what you would do. This is kind of elaborate, so just stay with me.
Oh, Jesus. A plot of Ocean's 12 about being unfurled.
Would you rather cartwheel through lasers... Or would you rather steal the egg before everybody... No. Okay.
I would rather cartwheel through lasers because there's no way they're not going to notice that you're not Julia Roberts. Like, God forbid Bruce Willis shows up, then your whole gig is blown.
The second I saw that part of the movie, I wanted to go back in time and stab myself in the eyes before that movie started. I couldn't believe they actually did that in the movie. Like, she looks just like Julia Roberts. Like, you can just tell when someone's writing a story and they've hit a wall and they have nowhere to go. And they're just like, I don't know.
I liked that. That was clever.
It was all right. Okay. As a fan... If you're a fan of a team and someone says to you, look, it's going to be one of these two situations. Your team is going to make the playoffs every single year of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to win the cup.
Okay.
Or would you want to go your whole life, no cups, but they win the cup once. And after they win the cup, that's your last year of life on the planet. You're going to die that year.
You get the duration of the year after they win the cup.
We'll say you die December 22nd. So this way you don't got
to
buy any gifts.
You don't
gifts.
Even get to Christmas.
No, you don't want to buy all these gifts and then
I
die.
I love Christmas, I mean, though. Like, I.
All right.
All right. How about December 26th?
Look, you're just trying. You're bargaining with the Grim Reaper here. You're going to die.
I am.
You have no choice.
Best two out of three.
sunk my Bethel ship.
The other question I have, though, is that if you, in the other scenario mm-hmm. where your team makes the playoffs every year of your life.
Every year.
Am I going to die a natural death at some point,
right.
or am I alive until that team folds?
No. You're going to die at like 75.
Okay, so this is not a bid for immortality.
No. You're not going to be 190 years old.
Okay.
And like going through this crazy drought where your team always gets to the second round.
Okay, that's when I was a little hazy.
Okay, so it's basically playoffs every year, mm-hmm. no cups, or they never win the cup. They only win the cup once, and then you die. And so so we tighten up the situation here. After you make your choice. Somebody from Men in Black comes by and neuralizes you. This way you don't know when you're going to die and you don't actually know the situation.
Okay.
But you've picked it and that's going to be your lot in life. Playoffs every year, no cups. One cup ever in your life and then you die that
year. So you die after winning the cup or you – wait, when are you neuralized again?
You're neuralized after you make your choice. After you decide whether you want to go playoffs every year, no cups, or one cup, and then you die.
You have to look into the flashy thing.
You have to look into the flashy thing. Tommy Lee Jones, we bring back here yet again in the podcast, shows up and he just says, hey, what's up, Slick? And then he just bangs you at the thing.
I'm going to need you to look at this.
Yeah.
So, all right. I would pick option one. And I would pick option one because there's a lot of things in life besides hockey I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would pick option one because I know a lot of – okay, let me put it this way. As a New York Jets fan, I've already experienced the lifetime of your team contending but never winning, and it's not the worst existence.
Hmm.
It's an existence I can live with.
You seem pretty miserable during the season, though.
I get really angry during the season, especially if you listen to episode one at Katie Nolan and the Patriots. But for me, it's like – here's the thing. If you have that, you know what you've got? You've got hope. Every single year you have hope. Once you win, you know, you're trying to get back to winning. It's like heroin. Like, as soon as you get that high, it's like, well, nothing else is going to compare. I'm going to eat this thing of donuts, but it's not going to feel as good as heroin, right? So it's like, or maybe it does. I don't know. I've never tried heroin. But, like, to me, it's like, that's the problem, is that once you win, it's never going to be as good as that first time that you win. And I say that as a Devils fan who's seen his team win three cups and,
but you
and
could
five
be like,
conference championships.
Like, you can be like one of those old people. I remember when the White Sox won in 2005, there was like a really old lady in the stands who was like, you know what, I've lived my whole life without a World Series. And then she got it that year. And there's a pretty good chance she might have died right now. That could be you.
No, I'm going perpetual hope. I'm going to pick option one. My team always makes the playoffs and I don't die the day after Christmas.
And yet you've abandoned the Sharks. The Sharks, there should be a kinship between
What's
you
your
and
answer
San Jose.
What's your answer?
I think I go cup and then die.
Yeah.
Assuming like the cup doesn't happen,
fucking nihilist. Why?
I would like to like shake off the mortal coil, feeling pretty good about my team during the course of that year. And if you're telling me I get Christmas too, then all
right,
great.
Right, and then you could also die happy because you've been neuralized and you don't remember you've made a deal with the with the Men in Black Grim Reaper.
Right. Because, well, think about it. If not for that, like say like you're 71 years old and suddenly like your favorite team wins the cup, you're gonna be like, yes. Oh, fuck, I'm going to die.
That's right.
This way, that takes that part out of it.
Yeah, exactly. My this or that for Dave Lozo is, would you rather drink from the Stanley Cup after Brent Burns has backwashed in it, or would you rather lick the goalie crease after a full 20-minute period of play? Drink from the backwash of Brent Burns in the Stanley Cup, or lick the goalie crease.
Like, how much do I have to drink?
You're gonna have to drink the whole thing, and you're gonna have to drag your tongue from side to side on the goalie crease across the goal line, if you will.
So, like, instead of coming out to start the period and scuffing up the crease, I go out there and
at the end of the period, when there is snot, there is drool, there is probably blood of some sort, all sorts of fluids.
Oh, I gotta go backwash. I have to.
Yeah,
I mean, like you're right. The blood kind of throws me off. I feel like I could not. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I could.
Now,
get
Brent
something
Burns
from
probably
Burns,
hasn't brushed his teeth since he was a rookie, and there would be beard in there. He probably kisses his animals.
What am I drinking?
His snakes.
What am I drinking out of the cup? What's the liquid?
Champagne.
Champagne.
Yeah, which is, of course, I don't know how your feelings are about champagne. That could be good or bad.
I've had bad champagne mornings. I've
said long, like, when we pass the brunch things here in the city and there's, like, bottomless mimosas, I'm like, I don't like that. Like, a little champagne goes a long way.
Yeah, champagne. Lick the crease. The crease isn't as big as you think.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is a good conundrum. I've this or that'd you right into conundrum land.
Because, like, all right, so with the cup,
mm-hmm.
I have a pretty decent idea of what I'm going to be getting out
of
that,
what the volume of the cup is, and also where it's coming from.
Like, and the crease.
Oh, can I increase the ante?
Go ahead.
Right before you drink from the cup, Brent Burns has eaten a Snickers.
I like Snickers.
Right, so there's a caramel, chewed up peanut.
You'd have to make it like a mounds would make me more hesitant.
Okay, he eats a mound. Right, so there's chunks of beard, chunks of coconut, a little chocolate film on top of the champagne you're about to drink.
Oh man. Because like the crease, like what if it's the crease of like the Rangers against the Penguins, and it's like no one's been down that end of the ice all period because the Penguins have just been running the show. Like it's probably like nothing down there. Lick the crease. Fuck, I'm gonna lick the crease.
You're looking to lick the crease.
I'm gonna gamble that the crease is mumps and disease free during those 20 minutes and lick the crease. That's what I'm gonna
do. Well, I will choose option A, Brent Burns backwash, because I love mountains. All right, well, there you go. So playoff picks made, preview done. In the time remaining on the show, Dave Lozo is going to tell you briefly about his adventure with teams.
Okay. So I'm sure some people probably know about this already because I feel like every teen on Twitter has like manually retweeted the story. On Sunday night, I was sitting in bed writing a gigantic playoff preview for Vice, which you can probably find on Vice at this exact moment I'm talking, even though you're not going to hear this until Thursday. And I was like, let me take a break and check Twitter because there was the two hockey games that were left that I wasn't really watching in the Masters. So I was like, let me see what's going on these things. And I see I have a direct message and I have open DMs. So once in a while, I get put on these weird group DM chats that are usually spam. It's usually like boner pills or like a girl with a webcam. And I'm like, this is terrible after I look at the webcam for 3 hours. But I usually
you would need the boner pills.
Right. Then it's one bird with two stones, sort of, in a way. If you want to turn that around.
What a lovely bird.
Right. Well, my bird didn't need no stones after that, if you know what I mean. So I see I got a direct message and it's a group chat, but it's not spam. Somebody named Pierre, who started this thing, put like all these teenage girls and like I said, I'm talking like 14, 16, 17 year old girls and like random people with verified Twitter accounts and like celebrities. Like I'm not a celebrity. I just have a verified Twitter account and like the New Yorker, the Red Cross. And I get in this room and these girls have been like chatting for like 5 minutes and they've been chatting like teenage girls. They're like, this is lit. Stay woke. This is lit as fuck, only it's AF, of course, for just like this entire stream of conversation. And I'm like, ugh.
So
I grab a photo that I use in a story I wrote for UpRocks about the John Oliver behind the Yankee home plate thing.
Right.
So I went to the hashtag, found this photo of a guy who was like, I'll go to Yankee Stadium like this. And he was like in his underwear sitting at his desk. So I was like, I'm just going to put this into the DM chat and then like tweet screenshots because it'll be funny. And so I did that. And they were like, oh, my God, that's hilarious. How'd you get that picture of me? And I was like, oh, interesting. They're not repulsed.
Yeah.
So you've
walked into a hot topic and realized that everybody there really kind of likes.
And it's really weird. So my name on Twitter, I won't even get into it, but it's Davril Lavinzo.
Now, you did that because of the people that changed their names for holidays.
For holidays. Only I'm trying to do it for every month of the year.
Okay.
And Avril is April in French. I got French followers, why not? Uh-huh. So Davril Lavinzo. So they start calling me Davril. They're like, who are you? Are you famous? You're not more famous than I am. I'm like, no, I'm not famous at all. So I'm like, wait, I got a room full of teens here. Maybe this could be comedy. So I started asking them questions. I'm like, who do you like more, Demi Lovato or Taylor Swift? And they all instantly wrote back, neither. They hate them. Like, as I'm called, I'm an old. I thought that's what teens like. So I basically spent the whole day, not the whole day, but like the last 4 hours of my day asking them, like, do they like Donald Trump? What do they think of society?
Did you feel like you were in a movie where you dressed up like a woman to infiltrate a sorority?
Oh, it was just like not another teen movie where the Drew Barrymore old lady. I've never been kissed. I was like that guy, but I was like taking a survey from teens. So this is going on, and I realize Ed Snowden is one of the people listed on the chat.
Expat Ed Snowden, whistleblower Ed Snowden.
Wanted by the FBI, living in Russia, Ed Snowden. So I go on Twitter and I like period before his name, and I'm like, Ed, you got to get in here. We're talking about Taylor Swift. Nothing happened. Wake up the next morning. I'm done with this room. I'm not going back into it. And I see I have like a direct message, and like the girls are like, ask us more questions, because like they really loved the fact that like people were like replying to the thread of like responses.
Well,
they were like,
and no
it out.
One listens to teens.
No, that's the thing. Like the teens are dying to tell you their opinions on things.
Right.
And I found a room full of teens that were like, and it was so funny too, because like every question I asked, they would give like one regular answer, and then like one like weird funny answer. It was like they were setting up the rules of three in comedy with their beats. It was amazing.
My favorite thing that happened during your chat by far was when you asked them about their opinion of Friends. And Friends is, if you don't know, Lozo's favorite television show in the history of mankind.
Best ever.
And one of the responses to your query about Friends was, I don't like it as much since it went mainstream.
It's become too mainstream,
she said. Again, if that's tongue-in-cheek, that's brilliant.
Oh,
but I think it was probably honest that they, like, the most mainstream comedy in the history of television comedy was called too mainstream by someone who, by the way, off the air for what now, 15, 20 years?
I think it ended in like 02.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
02. It ended in the early aughts.
Yeah.
So this goes on. It's the next morning. I'm done with it. I'm like doing work and stuff. And I see, like, again, a little direct message thing pops up. So I'm like, what are these girls doing? And they're like, ask us more questions. And before I can ask a question, Ed Snowden pops in and goes, where do you guys get your news? And I'm like, wait, holy shit. Ed Snowden's actually going to contribute to this? And so Ed Snowden spent, like, you know, 3 or 4 minutes in there, and then he bailed. He was just like, where do you guys get your news? And the one girl was like, I don't get my news anywhere. And the other girl was like, again, this was like the rules of three. She's like, I don't really get my news anywhere. And the other girl was like, oh, I watch the TV. And the other girl was like, I have a pigeon bring me my news. Like, it was like the weirdest thing. So like he asked some questions, and then they bailed. It's and like, that kept it going for like a second day.
Snowden's like, hey, any of you guys have any relatives in Omsk, Russia? Who may or may not be able to smuggle me some Dr. Pepper because I really miss it.
And then he closed it with, he's like, hey, I'm going to get out of here. Just so you know, the FBI is allowed to look at your DMs. Bye. Like, wait, what? Ed, come back. Wait, hold on. Are we going to go to jail now?
Here, now, they obviously learned something from you. There's no question about that. Did you learn something from the teens?
Well, these teens in particular, I mean, first of all, here, I'll show you what they've been talking about all day. Like, I'm not even involved anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they basically – they're definitely, like, teenage girls. Like, there's girls in their school they hate. They make fun of
there's a picture of a girl, and she has some sort of, like, a chunk of hair taken out of her eyebrow, kind of like Vanilla Ice style.
And they're just, like, ripping her.
And her eyebrow lady must have had done her very dirty – LMAO.
She probably thinks it's a design. She probably thought it was cool, like having three stripes in your eyebrow. Like they're like teenage girls. But every once in a while, they're like, ask us questions. And I haven't asked them questions in like a day or two. But it's just this. It's great. It's like a repository for learning about teens. And I've actually brought people into the room, like other adults, because like otherwise, it's. I feel like it's good to have extra adults in there to see what's going on. Like Caitlin Kelly from Vice was like, oh, sorry, some of us can't have teen chat rooms. And I was like, I'll bring you in. I brought her in there last night. and she spent like 10 minutes in there, and they were like, oh, Caitlin, you're so lit. You know,
teen culture is so alien to me. I feel like you're Zelda Rubinstein in Poltergeist, and you're able to cross over and speak to ghosts. Like that's how divorced I am from teen culture. That I feel like you've entered another realm
it
of
is.
Existence.
Katie Baker called me the Teen Whisperer, which I think is a pretty good name.
Which
for
is
it.
Great. That was also my nickname when I owned a van.
But like Caitlin was in the room for 10 minutes, and they were like asking her if she was a cop and stuff. And like she sent me like a regular DM, and she was like, "I've been laughing my ass off here for the past 10 minutes. It's so hard to explain why it's funny, because like they're just regular teens saying it's like teens say the darndest things."
Yeah.
So like if anyone's got a question for the teens, let me know, because they love answering questions from mm-hmm. adults. Just fire one my way.
I'm just waiting for the end game where like you say something that offends them, like "You're never getting any jobs."
Yeah, I know.
Or they're like their end game would be like finally asking you to buy them that bottle of vodka.
Right. This is the whole thing. You're like, "Hey, wait, you can you drive down to Nebraska? I don't know where they live. Like, can you drive down to Nebraska and buy me and my friends some 151?" All right.
Well, there you go. So Dave Lozo, the Teen Whisperer.
It's been an amazing week on Twitter.
An amazing nickname on several levels.
The Teen Whisperer.
Do you think this can get you to the Kids' Choice Awards?
I mean, look, if Ariana Grande wants to take me, I mean, I'll go. Is it Grande or Grande?
Grande. Thank you. Yeah. Clearly, you need to discuss that with your teen friends. Yeah. It's Grande.
I'm still learning. I'm still learning about the teens.
I'm excited because this greatly increases the chance of you being having your head situated between the remaining members of One Direction and a star on the CW on the next issue of Tiger Beat.
Oh, they like the 1D. The teens.
Oh, I bet they do.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they hate Zayn or not, because he's the guy that left.
He's
right?
The guy that left. Yeah,
yeah. I'm still learning. Next week, maybe I'll have more. Like, it's so funny. Like, whenever you go to Canada, like the Canadian accent kind of slips into your vocabulary, mm-hmm. and so like these teens say "lit" all the time. And so, like, I start saying it, like, ironically. And then, like, in my mind, I'm, like, watching TV, and I'm just like, oh, man, this episode of Friends is lit. Wait, what? What did I just say? Teens. Teens. They are our future.
How much for that hot dog? $3. Oh, I am woke. Ain't no way I'm paying $3, yo. Even at that hot dog is lit.
They say stay loyal a lot, too. Stay loyal, lit AF. Things are always something.
What does
something
lit AF mean?
As fuck.
Oh, I thought it meant Air Force. No. Like they started the jet engines or something.
Stay woke, be loyal, and things are lit.
Oh, dude, what a... Dude, you just got your John Cena hustle, loyalty, respect mantra. Whoa. So it's be woke, stay loyal.
And I think it's also...
And then be lit, like lit as fuck?
Like lit as fuck, stay woke.
Stay woke.
And just be loyal. Or no. So the teens. And the other part of it, too, is whenever I tweet something now, I'm like, hey, I need mailbag questions. Mm-hmm. Or just like, ask the teens. Mm-hmm. Everything I tweet, what do the teens think?
All right. So to review, Dave likes the Ducks over the Capitals, and I like the Ducks over the Penguins. And this, ladies and gentlemen, has been another edition of Puck Soup. Thanks for everybody who downloaded the first episode. Thanks for everybody who downloaded this episode. You can find my work on the Puck Daddy blog and also listen to my other podcast, Merrick vs. Wyszynski, and buy my book, Take Your Eye Off the Puck, available wherever books are sold. And now it's time for Dave's plugs as I try to shut off the recording.
Oh, yeah. I got a playoff preview up advice, which is going to be on Thursday when you hear this, but it'll be up today on Wednesday. Go to the comeback. Read my stuff there. Up Rocks. Occasionally I have some non-aggregation stuff. I got a Kobe Bryant thing where I wrote today because I hate Kobe Bryant. He sucks, and I don't think anybody likes him.
If you have a chance to really honor Kobe this week, go to YouTube and type in Shaq Ass Tastes.
Yes.
And listen to the greatest rap diss freestyle of all time, in which Shaquille O'Neal takes down Kobe in a 3-minute freestyle rap in New York and ends it with having the crowd chant, "Kobe, tell him how my ass tastes." It's the best. We don't really have a way to end the show properly. Like, we don't have the Nerdist Enjoy Your Burrito on our show, but I think we might. Mm. If you could please once again speak your teen mantra to the listeners as the final words they hear on this extraordinarily popular for no apparent reason podcast.
Can't figure it out. Just want to thank everybody for listening. Stay woke, be lit, and stay loyal.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.